Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
Fucking it up, Ash, just fucking it up. How are you?
Good, dude. That's funny that you say fucking it up. I was gonna ask you if you wanted to do like a like I don't know if you fuck up, but like is if there's like points.
Cheers. I don't know if you're like always perfect or if you ever fuck up.
Seriously, because like someone the other day was like, I can't remember who it was, but it's like they're like, oh, I listened to your podcast. Like it's nice to know like how you well, actually what they said, I almost died. She's probably gonna listen to this. She's a competitor. She did wellness. She's in the army. She's like, my last prep, you guys, you and Ash. Oh my God, I keep locking myself out of my phone. You and Ash are like, what does she say? I want to quote it. I don't want to get it wrong. Because I fuck up a lot of shit, so.
Yeah, I do too.
That's what, oh my God, we should talk about that. Because this is, it just like reminded me. Where is she? Got a lot of DMs lately. Oh, okay. She's like, you and Ash are my Roman Empire. Oh, because I commented on one of her photos that she posted. I was like, glutes, nice. She's like, you and Ash are my Roman Empire, so my heart is doing cartwheels. And I was like, girl, please, I'm just your average Joe. Do not put me on a pedestal. And like, she was like the third or fourth person that's always like, oh my God, like you and Ash, like I just want to be like you guys are so like on it all the fucking time. And I was like, dude, for the last like 3 fucking months, I haven't been able to finish a single fucking workout. Like I skip at least one exercise. Obviously I tell fucking Mark, but like, I'm not perfect. Like
I had a great conversation with a client today and I'm also going to pull it up so I don't pull a whoopsie poopsie. But she was like, she said, thank the Ash, I'm no by means perfect and as on top of shit as competitors. And I was like, okay, so one, you are by far one of the hardest working clients I've ever had the pleasure of working with because she is on her shit. Like,
what's her goal? Why'd she come to you? I'm just curious.
She's we did a lot of functional stuff with her adrenals and her gut health because she really wanted to grow muscle, but like, her immune system, like her white blood cells were like a 2. And I was like, okay. I was like, we need to pack up here.
Dude, at the hospital, when I see that, I'm like, 2 white blood cells. That's all she has. And her whole body is 2.
I was like, yeah, just two white blood cells. Just like hang on for dear life. But I was like, she's overcome quite a lot. And her body has given her all that it can give her, considering her past and her history. And she is a fighter. She's a very strong woman. And I really do admire her and look up to her. And like, mind you, this is like one of the clients I'm looking up to. And if we are the Roman Empire, according to the one girl that DM'd you, if I look up to one of my clients, that tells you what a badass she is. But I told her, I was like, you are by far one of the hardest working clients. And two, no client, whether competitor or Gen Pop, should strive to be perfect as it's not achievable. The goal should be centered around striving to be better consistently, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like the whole like every damn day thing that I post every morning when I'm on the treadmill getting my cardio in. It has nothing to do with every damn day cardio. That is just a snippet of the general theme of every damn day and what it stands for to be better constantly, not to be perfect, because I've even worked with my own therapist on letting go of perfectionist type tendencies, all or nothing thinking, black and white thinking. Like there's a spectrum and there's rooms and priorities for everything. So it's like, I goof. And when I goof, I own it. Right. I own that goof. And then I'm like, why did I goof? I call them goofs because that's just a really funny word. But like, if I goof, why did I goof? And how can I not goof in the future? Right. Mm-hmm. So like, that's super important to recognize as athletes, because while Ash and I are coaches, we are also athletes. Right. Yeah. And I would say the reason why we are better coaches, not like better compared to other people, but better compared to where we were, is because we've learned so much and fucked up quite a lot as athletes.
Yeah, no, and like that's so profound because like I hear this all the time, and like me and Summer, our client success manager for Classic, she coaches a few girls as well. We were talking about how there's so many people out there that are goofing up or fucking up that are high level athletes, but like don't talk about it, don't show it, don't bring it to the attention, don't admit it to their clients or whatever, however you want to look at it, and it creates this like facade and this false perfectionism. And I think a lot of like Oh my God. I don't want to say like normal people, but like just regular people, just like non-athletes, I guess, top tier athletes or even fitness influencers. It creates this sense of like worthlessness for people because they're like, oh man, like I'm never going to be able to achieve my fitness goals because I can't be a fucking robot. I can't be spot on. I miss this. I miss that. Like it's hard for me to do these things, X, Y, and Z. And then you go on Instagram and you look at, you know, well, first of all, if you're a Gen Pop and you're comparing yourself to a fucking Olympian bodybuilder, that's just stupid. I mean, it is. I mean, unfortunately, the reality of it is like, yeah, it's great. You want to compare yourself to that, but like, you guys are on so different planets. It's like you can't compare. It's apples to oranges, reality. But
And I'll be vulnerable here. Actually, my last session with Dr. Effie, we were supposed to do like a different like technique for meditation or whatever she wanted to do, and I was able to finally open up and talk to her about how I feel mediocre as a coach, not because I don't love what I do, but because I love it and I feel like I'm not being pushed to my full potential because I compare my roster size to other coaches, right? And we talked about like the comparison game and how people show you what they want you to see. And so she gave an example. She was like, the coaches that are doing really well with their business. And she talked about the metaphor of life in terms of a pie chart. So it's like you have, you know, your hobbies, you have your relationships, you have your business, you have maybe you time on a pie chart. And the coaches that post a lot of athlete wins, a lot of highlights, a lot of good stuff from their business, you don't see maybe what's that at a cost of maybe they're getting a divorce. Maybe their friends hate them because they're not making quality time for their friends. You know, maybe they're having like issues with their mental health that they're not addressing because they're channeling all of their energy into work. And she's like, you have an edge here by having a smaller roster size and not having hundreds of clients, because that means the clients that you are serving, they get more of you and more time and attention. And she said, you don't see the neglect from coaches that do have hundreds of athletes on their roster and the neglect that some of those clients get because you only have so many hours a day. You only have so many like mental like fortitude to service these clients. She's like, you don't see the neglect on from those clients' perspective, but she said, I do. Because I am their therapist. And I was like, holy fucking shit. I like just did not even think about it like that. I was so focused on my own, like, quote unquote, worthlessness because of the size of my roster, not failing to realize that if I could only change one thing about my life, it would be able to help more people, but genuinely help them not just have more bodies to have for a status. So like again, that was me being completely vulnerable about
Like also
Instagram.
too, yeah, like also too, like yeah, like you want to be able to help more people, but like also too, like at what cost? Like you said, like there's a lot of coaches out there where their shit is suffering. And I was one of those coaches. 2021, 22, when I started my business, 2021. When I actually like applied for my LLC because I was doing backdoor, probably whatever illegal government shit. Because I wasn't like an established business. I was coaching, but I didn't know what
I
I was
got
doing.
you.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. But anyways, so like that was the year that I started up my business. I was in fucking prep. I was trying to, you know, grow that. And I grew that to like 45 people on my roster, which some people are like, oh, that's not even a lot, because there are coaches out there that have like 100. But for me, when I got to that 45 mark, while I was in prep, while I was working, you know, 40 hours a week as a nurse, my relationship, my personal life fell apart. I was like sleeping in my office. I was up all night. I was in a mentorship too with like, you know, a coach, a different coach, a different company. I was taking all of these fucking classes, but like my physical health started to suffer. My relationship fell apart. You know, we broke up at that time. But like, oh, it looked fun because I had 45 clients that I was helping. And I looked great on Instagram and I was posting all this shit. I mean, Mark was my coach. He pulled me from the gym. My Hashimoto's got worse. I gained 40 fucking pounds like after that year. Like everything just started falling apart after that. So it was like, holy shit. Like, yeah, on Instagram, it looked like I had it all together and I was very successful, but like everything else in my pie chart was breaking at the seams, literally. So
Absolutely. I mean, I even remember when I was with a coaching company and we did the check-in process, phone calls, 30-minute phone calls, and I had 70 clients where we'd have to schedule phone calls and they're part of this 3-month program. And I remember at my breaking point, like I was in prep and then I was reversing and then I was going with a new coach. But at that time, like having to talk to 70 people, 30-minute phone calls every single week, and then doing on top of like my own bodybuilding, my career, or my relationship with my husband. He was starting a new job. Like I was literally at my wit's end where I was not sleeping. And I got to the point where I wanted to commit suicide. And so it's like I forget all of that pain that I felt 4 years ago, right? Like, 'cause it just like it was something where I don't think about that pain because I overcame it. I'm no longer in that position. But now I'm in this different level of suffering where, oh, well, I want more. But I'm like, okay, but how much more can you feasibly have before you start feeling like you wanted to eat a bullet like you did in 2020? And I'm like, maybe not. Maybe I need to redefine success and what's sustainable for me so that way I can be happy. So at the end of the day, even if I double my roster size and that's all I want out of life, which as of right now, that's really all that I want out of life, that is a damn blessed life. That is so fucking blessed.
Yeah, like I mean it really is. I mean it's just defining success, and like again that c comes into like also to like being like that athlete and like what does success mean for you and like what is best for you, right? And like we talk about that all the time, but like I also think like I said like a lot of it comes into like that comparison game and like how you look at people and like you know I had this one client and she every check-in would always be like, well, I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm not doing that. And I'm like, this isn't even bodybuilding stuff.
This is
Like, you
just
know.
being an adult.
Right. Well, not yeah, it's just like, you know, I don't want to track my food, but I want to lose 30 pounds, but I'm eating everything in sight. Like kind of one of those things. And like, you know, it really just got me thinking. It's like, yeah, there's certain things that like obviously lifestyle clients don't necessarily need to do, but like also too, it's like, you know, you need to compare yourself to people within the same, you know. Realism of you or whatever scope, whatever goals. But when it comes down to it, like I honestly think there's very, very few people that don't mess up their protocols. And there are gonna be people that listen and like, oh, I've never done that. And I think some of it too is like you don't know you're doing it though either.
Yeah, it's like there are only, I mean, when it comes to like programming and protocols, like there are some things like I forget what the saying is, but like I don't know if this is true, but Eric once told me this and I have never forgotten it, where it's like it can't be a law if it's not enforceable. So it's like when it comes to your programming and your protocols, like if there are certain things that you literally just cannot do, it's like, okay, well, maybe we need to like change within the protocol. But a lot of the times, like, can you truly not change it or are you unwilling to change it? Right? It comes with always comes down to priorities. But I am not going to have the same programming or the same protocols for a care flight nurse mother of five that I am for a 22-year-old that wants to compete in bikini. Like, it doesn't make fucking sense to have the same protocols because they have such vastly different lives, different stressors. They're completely different human beings. And so it's like, there needs to be client-centered coaching, which is something that I'm trying to adopt because like perspective and context matters. But at the same time, you also need to understand your own context because you know you need to change, but why are you unwilling to change? Why are you unwilling to do what you need to do to be successful and understand that consistency wins, not perfection?
Yeah, I think like you just have to find like the right shoe that fits, right? And it's got to be like, yeah, like obviously protocols are always going to be different. They should be different for everybody. But like a perfect example for me is like I said at the beginning, I'm like, yeah, like I was just been like fucking up or like falling short in my protocols and like not been able to train or like had to skip certain exercises. So like, what did we do? Like we pulled back on how many warm-up sets I have because one, I'm, you know, certain exercises I'm just really obviously good at. We've perfected my form. I don't need three warm-up sets. Like deadlifts, I can do one warm-up set and then a top set. I don't need three warm-up sets to like figure out my body. Like it's fine. Versus like kickbacks, I probably could do 37 warm-up sets, still not fucking get it before my top set because I suck ass at those. So it's like whatever. You know, I do need more warm-up sets for those. But like that's what we had to do because like I kept fucking up. I don't want to say fucking up, but I just like my protocol was this. I was not hitting it. But like on the outside, people are like, oh, you keep showing up to the gym. Good for you. You're hitting everything. Like I'm not because I'm falling short on like what is actually programmed. And that happens. So we had to change. So we pulled back on warm-up sets. We pulled back on the total volume. Like we're not doing our top sets at 15, 18 reps. We pulled them down to like 7 or 9 because I just didn't have the time. So it was like, it came back to like, why was I not hitting this? Was it, you know, because I was unwilling or I was lazy, or is it because like I have a child at home that I'm still breastfeeding and I'm fucking exhausted because my sleep is still shitty. So by like the time it takes me to do, a 2.5 hour workout, like I'm either A, too exhausted, or B, like I just don't have the time because I have to get back to my family, right? So like we had to make those adjustments, but like I had to own my shit. I had to own it and be like, all right, well, I'm not doing this. Well, why am I not doing it? Is it just because one, I'm lazy, or two, because like I physically, or there's something obviously, example A, like my family and my time that is not allowing me to do that. And
Exactly.
I think that that's what comes into play because like I said, a lot of people will check in, like your client was like, I'll never be able to do the exact same bodybuilding things, but like you don't need to do that. And like, why don't you need to do that? Or like, okay, well, here's your goal. This is what you need to do. This is what you don't need to do, right? Like there are people where they're like, oh man, like I still want to be able to have like a free meal with my boyfriend every single week. Okay, well, what are your goals? Well, I just want to be able to be healthier, learn how to weight train, and maybe take off 10 pounds. Great, you can still do that. Oh, okay. I want to have a date night, but I also want to get on stage in 13 weeks. Okay, you can't do that. Like, there's just a difference.
Exactly. And I think again that I'm trying not to use the word delusion in a negative context, but I think it's like the rose-colored glasses. It's like you see top-level genetic outliers being able to do that, or the coaches that, use their show ponies where their refeeds are 700 calories and they're female, or 700 grams of carbs, excuse me, and they're female and they're enhanced. And you're like, oh, I can do that too. And you're like, no, you fucking can't. We're probably going to have trace carb, trace fats days and 2 hours of cardio. Like the reality of what like just normal people need to do, that even though they have these big lofty goals, you're going to have to do extreme shit. Like you just are, because when we are in the context of bodybuilding, a very extreme sport, hello.
But like also too, you have to think about like even lifestyle, like the things that like us coaches ask lifestyle clients to do seems extreme for them. Like if they're used to not preparing their food, not to weighing it out, not to eating the same things or the same selection of things for multiple days in a row, that's to not have Starbucks 1 to 2 times a day, every single day. That's like a mocha fluffy whipped cream latte shit.
Frappuccino.
Yeah, whatever. That's extreme for them, but they like don't know. Like you said, it is like those rose-colored glasses, but it's also too like the rose-colored glasses of like you don't know what's impeding your progress. Like you don't know why you can't lose it. Because I have so many people, because now I'm kind of at a point in my career where like I'm talking more and more about like hormones and health and stress and how this affects you, because I'm actually fucking educated in it now versus 3 years ago when I thought I was, but I wasn't. And which I'll continue to be. Each year, I'll probably feel more confident and smarter because we're going to learn forever. But a lot of people will come to me like, my hormones are fucked up. I've been trying to lose weight. I've been trying to do X, Y, and Z. I can't ever do it. Okay. Or they're like, I have gut dysbiosis. I have SIBO. That's a big one. And honestly, here's the thing. People will come to me and I'm just like, I don't think your hormones are like after 2 weeks of working, I'm like, I don't think your hormones are fucked up. Like you just didn't know what health was. You didn't know what eating healthy was. You didn't know what a fruit was, what
What a fruit was.
having fiber and enough of fiber, moving your body in a way that felt good. And then the weight starts to come off and they're like, oh wow. Oh wow. Yeah. Like, okay. Like, but I, they still think their hormones are fucked up and that
Well,
I
their
did.
hormones might have been fucked up, but why were the
Right.
hormones? Because their habits were fucked up.
Exactly. And
That's the
like,
big thing.
that's what I was just going to say about like, cause the whole gut health thing, because like, I'm actually kind of shying away from like ordering a GI map test, like one, unless you absolutely need it. If you're a competitor and you're having a lot of issues, then yes, I think we need to find out exactly what is going on. But like, if you're like a lifestyle client that has come to me with horrible habits and just things that are don't even align with health and wellness, we can literally do the bare minimum, put in like the basic gut health supplements, get you on a good diet, adjust fiber, adjust stress, get your body moving, just walking. I don't even care what it is, get you better sleep. A lot of those things will clear up right then and there. I guarantee you, like, give it 12 weeks. And then, obviously, if things aren't going, then I'm like, all right, cool. Let's get like a GI mapping test because there might be something horribly wrong. But, like you said, like, a lot of those things are like, yeah, it could have been there. It probably is. Like, we see the signs as coaches, like, what is fucked up. Like, and then you just start doing these minimal things, which may seem monumental to you guys as someone who's never done this before, but like your health starts to get in a lot better spot. But it's like those rose-colored glasses of like, oh wow, I didn't know X, Y, and Z was making my hormones bad, or, was making my gut bad. Or I had a girl this week. I couldn't even believe this. She's a young girl. I just signed her like a couple weeks ago. 18 years old. Looks like she has gut dysbiosis, but real bloated. And then she's filling out her poop log and it's type one, type one, type one, type one. And I'm like, have you always shit rabbit pebbles? And she's like, yeah. Is there something wrong with that? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
As a
there is.
matter of fact, oh.
But like, she was like, I really had no idea. Like, just very genuine. And I was like, wow, again, we have failed. Like, what do we learn in health class in 8th grade? Seriously, like, we should learn what our normal poops are and we should learn about our cycle. Like,
I think we
literally.
did a little bit of, no, we didn't do much like female reproductive stuff because I went to a private Christian school. There was like a maybe a little bit.
No,
I
they
feel like
didn't
we
do.
took Zumba classes. Like dead ass, I think we took Zumba classes.
Like, it's crazy to me because, like, I mean, I never knew what a normal poop was until I got probably into nursing school either. Like, I didn't know those things. And that's crazy that, like, we are so uninformed about, like, our bodies and stuff like
Yeah.
that.
I mean, especially like with the holidays now, like or and the New Year's approaching, like people want so badly to change and to feel fixed and to feel like they're making progress that they are so motivated to get the result, but they're not committed to the process. And I feel like that is also so difficult, especially in the beginning, because like we talk about instant gratification a lot, but I don't mind giving someone a really quick win with how I design their programming because the more that we can get like their trust and their buy-in as coaches, the more likely they're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm making some really good progress. Like I'm feeling a lot better. I'm having like daily good soft poops. You know, maybe I lost like 5 pounds of actual literal shit that was, you know, in my digestive system since last Saturday. But it's like, it's one of those things where we're also like designing our programming to develop skills, to get stronger in the gym, which is a skill. Like exercising is a skill. It's not something you turn off your brain and la-di-da. Like, no, you are learning how to move your body. You're learning how to turn on these muscle groups or whatever. When it comes to meal prepping and cooking, that is a skill. Like, even if you played the fucking Sims as a kid, you had a cooking skill. Like, you leveled that shit up. Reading is a skill. Stress management, boundaries, these are all skills and habits to make you, yes, a better athlete if that's your goal, but in reality, it's also just what you need to do as a successful human being. So, as much as we are like health coaches or bodybuilding coaches, a lot of what we're doing is just basic people skills that some adults weren't taught or they just like kind of forgot about because life happens and your perspective changes and priorities shift. But the thing is like, as an adult, you are responsible for your own health. That is like number one, especially when you are like a mom or a wife or whoever else, because you influence people with how you live your life, whether you know it or not.
Oh my God, yeah. I actually have like a lot of people that have like told me in the last week because I posted that I've been 5 years sober now from alcohol. And they're just like me finally taking care of myself and being like, hey, like I'm ready to quit this, live a healthier life has had that ripple effect of like a lot of my family members and my boyfriend. Because when we started dating, like he was still going to the bars. Now he barely drinks anymore. And like I've never pressured him not to drink because I don't care. I just don't like drinking and driving, but like you said, it has that ripple effect of like as an adult, like especially as like a parent, your kids
Yeah.
see those habits, right? And like I said, it's like wow, it's profound when you start doing something. And like again, it's really cool right now because I have a lot of clients that are like, oh my God, like how do I tell my family like I'm on a health journey and like how can I eat my own meals or be or do X, Y, and Z around the holidays? And I was like, you educate them and you show them. Like people are like, well, what are we gonna do? There's all these holiday events. I was like, well, why don't you do something else, go ice skating, go on a walk in the snow, like do other things that aren't like going. And I don't know what people do for holidays. That's like other than like the day of and the day after, is there like a lot of like stuff to go around and eat? I don't know. Yeah, like I guess I'm just like misinformed. Like we never really had big traditions growing up. So it was kind of like, I don't know what all these events are people are talking about, but I'm curious. Like fucking holler at me if you guys have things that you do that are like, I guess Christmas cookie decorating is a big one. I can see
Yeah.
that. Yeah. But, just like educating them and, a
Yep.
lot of the times either A, they're going to be very, very curious and or B, they're going to be like, oh, can you help me? Yeah, there we go. Insert that. Exactly. But yeah, it does have like that ripple effect of like,
Yeah.
when you start doing better, and then when those other people see it though too, when they're like, oh wow, like your face looks thinner, or even like, wow, you look like you're happier, like you feel better, like you know, you can get off the couch quicker or things like that. And it's like that starts to, you know, you become the role model then for everyone around you. And it's really cool to see that.
I do think it does boil down to, especially with families, communication. And like, again, this was even something I was talking with my therapist about, where it's like, I get anxiety when Eric's family, like his parents, come over, because his mom, her memory's asshole. It is just complete asshole. And she doesn't always think before she speaks, but she's probably the nicest person in this world. And she is very, not naive, but what's the other word where it's like innocent? She's more innocent, I think. And because she is just so kind, but doesn't really sometimes think before she speaks, when she's trying to give you a compliment or notice something or engage in conversation, it can kind of come off as a little bit of a backhanded slap, even though she doesn't mean it.
What's an example?
Like, this is not like the example of that per se, but like, she always wants to ask about how I'm doing in business. And so she asks me the same questions. Like, she goes, how many podcasts do you record? I was like, same answer that I told you 3 weeks ago. I record two podcasts every single week, but she asks the same questions every single time because she is genuinely curious about what I am doing. But because I am defensive in my business, because going back to the comparison game and I feel mediocre, I get defensive, and I just kind of want to shut it down really quickly because I don't want to talk about my failings, because how I define success is my roster size, even though I'm working through redefining what success means. And so it's one of those things where, like, she is trying to be kind and trying to be interested in me and encourage me and love on me, but because I am perceiving it incorrectly, like, that's an issue on my end. But something that my therapist was talking about is because I was like so adamant that my life is so freaking Groundhog Day that nothing changes. And she was like, but nothing changes on their end either. And I was like, bitch got me. I was like, you're right. Like, nothing changes. They ask me the same questions every single time. So why am I still getting angry when I know what's gonna happen? Like, I know what questions are coming, So it's like, rather than being defensive, I can be like, yeah, I'm still rocking with two podcasts every single week. I also do Instagram lives. So that's just, again, see, that's good. Ash is not perfect. Like, Ash has her own issues that she's working through. And I think it's really important to understand that I might not be goofing up my protocol per se. I'm still goofing up other areas of my life.
I guess, yeah, like it depends on like what goofing up. Like for me, like I don't have like a caffeine recommended top off, but like I feel like I'm fucking up my protocols when I have like too much caffeine in a day. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Per se,
You're
like when,
like,
yeah. And like my sleep's been so shitty. And like that's another thing. Like when my sleep's shitty, I'm like, I'm fucking up my protocols because like I need good sleep. Good sleep is required. Right, to have good lifts, to have good digestion, to have good mental health, to just obviously have good life. So like for me, it's like, yeah, that's an area where I feel like I fuck up, you know? And then oh my God, I need to out myself. I forgot I did this. Maybe I talked about it. This was like a month or two ago. Oh my God, I'm
Ooh, an
dying.
exclusive.
Yeah, this was like a big fuck up on my protocols. I can't remember like what if it was like a rest day or a training day or whatever it was. I don't know what happened. So anyways, late at night, got my kid in bed, got all my shit done, and I was like, well, wow, I have like a lot of time. Like I'm chilling. So I ended up smoking, and in that realm, I got really fucking hungry, and I ate a whole ass another meal. Rice, chicken, banana, honey, all of it.
Dude, that meal slaps. That's a slapper meal
Yeah,
though.
no, it's my favorite meal, so it makes sense as to why I ate it again. But yeah, and I literally was like, obviously I had to tell Mark. This was like a Friday, and I had to tell Mark on Tuesday at my check-in because I'll just wait till Tuesday. Like, what's he gonna do if I tell him on Saturday morning nothing?
Yeah,
Like, you
he's gonna be
know,
like, go throw it up. Like, no, he's not gonna say
stick your hand down your throat, throw it
that. Be
up. Yeah. So
Guys, please
I
don't do
like,
that. I'm just joking. Please don't do that.
yeah, no. So I was like, okay, I really fucked up. I forgot I did this. This is so funny. I'm
That
surprised I
is, no,
didn't.
you definitely didn't tell me that. That's hilarious.
Oh man. And I think the old me would have been like so embarrassed and so ashamed because I'm like, oh my God, I have to be so rigid.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, the reality of it is like, I messed up. Well, why did I mess up? Because I had some fucking marijuana,
You
peso
smoked a
pasado,
fatty.
and like didn't have self-control. And usually I'm not one of those people that like will smoke and eat, which I guess a
Yeah.
lot of people do. Like my whole entire last prep, I smoked and like I never had the munchies, but I don't know what the fuck was going on. So nonetheless, I ate a whole meal. So like, guys, this is like a 300-400 calorie meal that I fucking went over. And I'm so deep into my off season that like I think I actually woke up either the same weight or lighter. And I was like, probably massive dopamine release. But anyways,
That's
I was like,
so
oh
funny.
yeah. But still, like I had to admit that and I had to own that. And then I'm like, oh my God. So like, what's the solution? Like, what do we have to do here? And Mark was like, oh, you know what? Actually, I was drinking too much caffeine. And I was like, I'm gonna help me fall asleep. So Mark's like, you're just in this vicious cycle. Cause I remember him, he's like, stop drinking caffeine. He didn't necessarily tell me stop smoking. He's like, maybe try smoking again and see if you overeat. I don't know.
But
Okay.
like, it was just a one-time circumstance. Like,
Yeah.
as a coach, we're not gonna like, if it's a one-time thing, don't hyperfixate on it. If it's a
Yeah.
pattern, that's where we get into trouble. So for you, it's like, okay, what's your habit here? Okay, you haven't smoked a fatty in so long. You know, the one extra chicken and rice and honey, like who cares? But like the caffeine, like that is something that clearly is causing you issues with falling asleep or creating anxiety. So that's the bigger issue at hand. So it's like, how do we circumvent that? Well, let's stop with our McDonald's runs, even though their Diet Coke is the best Diet Coke on earth. Like, let's
Without a
have decaf coffee or herbal teas. Like, those are things and strategies to overcome that. And then you start noticing you feel better. And then you're also saving money and you're like happier because you're feeling better and you're happier because your bank
doubt.
account isn't like, do, 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 do.
Yeah. And like, it was just like one of those moments where it's like, yeah, I was like, I fuck up too. And like, I had to admit that. And then I had to find the solution. And like, I guess it's like, it's a pattern. It's like, do you learn from your quote unquote fuck up or fumble or whatever?
Ooh, fumble. I like that because
Yeah.
your birthday theme, fumble.
Yes. Football theme, I'm all about it. So it's like, yeah, you know, do you learn from it? Do you grow from it? And like, that's what I'm saying is like, there are other athletes out there, top tier athletes that have probably done that same exact example that I have done, or even like other things, you know, or, and they just don't show it. They just don't admit it. And it creates that false sense of like robotic perfectionism that a lot of us like seem to like fail or, you know, fall short on. And like, even in like your example of like, maybe it's not quote unquote fitness protocols, but it is like mental health and life things that like, I'm
Stress
sure.
management, baby. That's what
Yeah,
it
well,
is.
I'm sure your therapist has times too where she's not managing stress well. And I think
Oh,
about it all
yeah.
the time because I'm like, wow, I wish I could be a therapist, but I can't because I can't manage my stress. And I'm like thinking, like, wait, my own therapist probably has her own stress. And I'm sure there's been times where she's not like, okay, let's count down from 10 and
Let's
breathe. And
meditate, focus on the
right.
breath.
I mean, I'm sure she tries to do that and she probably has more self-patience than, but like everyone breaks at some point, right? Like everyone's gonna have that fumble, everyone's gonna goof up. It's just a matter of like, can you own your shit? Can you be honest with it? And like, how do you respond and how do you feel? Because like I said, there was a time years ago where I would have that fucking meal and I probably would have stayed up all night, like guilty, like through everything. And I'm not saying to go fuck off on your protocols when you have goals, because you do. Like if I did that in prep, I would have been like, pull me out right now. And I hope Mark would have pulled me out too. Like that is unacceptable without a doubt. Like you can't be doing that shit, in my opinion. But you know, it's like, what did I learn from it? And like, where am I gonna go from it? You know, it's like, yes. And like, I remember when I was trying to unlearn my like perfectionist habits because I was really rigid. I would not go over at all. And Mark did have a conversation with me. He was like, look, like he's like, there's been times where I've gone out to have like my free meal of the week. And he's like, and I overate and I ate way too much because like those are things that I was like scared of because I thought it was going to hurt my progress based on like my own psyche and what I thought, you know? And the reality of it is like sometimes those mental hurdles are like preventing you from getting better. Like it's keeping you stuck. And then like, I said, like, yeah, I just went on. I just had to admit what I was wrong about and find the solution for it versus like either A, not speaking up and talking about it, B, like letting it ruin my progress to the point where it was like, I'm never going to have a free meal. I'm never going to eat off my plan again. And then guess what? 2 years down the road, I either A, have like a severe eating disorder where I can't do anything and it's controlling my life, or B, I'm just like binge eating, not following any protocols because I feel so restricted, you know? So it's like having that awareness, but also to like that vulnerability And then like the willingness to actually change based on like your actions.
Exactly. And if you're being reactionary to your actions, it's not a logical decision. It's one based out of emotion. And when you have those knee-jerk reactions, that's where it's entering into a negative vicious cycle, vicious loop. Because you're right, if you would have had a knee-jerk reaction, you likely would have like developed a worse relationship with your body, your food, your bodybuilding. It would have reverted back to perfectionistic all or nothing mentality because it's familiar versus being like, why did this happen? I smoked a fatty. I wanted the extra food. I have been abusing caffeine lately. So what do I do? Okay, well, let's stop abusing caffeine and let's like just everything else will just that no other changes. Just let's just stop abusing caffeine. Because if I'm not abusing caffeine, I won't have problems sleeping. If I don't have problems sleeping, I'm not going to be tempted to smoke weed. And if I do, God forbid, get the munchies again when I smoke weed and do another thing, like again, that's a pattern and a trend. So it's like it's so important to not lose your head. And if you are someone that is still maybe in the earlier stages of understanding that your actions have consequences and consequences can either be positive or negative, that is why that communication and that vulnerability with your coach is important because they can provide you unbiased perspective, being like, hey, from my point of view, this is what I'm seeing. Or if you don't have a coach and you have a therapist, hey, from my point of view, this is what I'm seeing. Because sometimes just that perspective is so valuable because there's no emotion to it. It is just like, call it like you see it. You know what I'm saying? And it's so valuable as a training technique. So that way, when goofs happen, fumbles happen, you can understand what happened. And then we'll stick with the football analogy, make a game plan for the next down to, recover it or do whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's so important to have those fail, was it was fail safes in place? Is that the phrase?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, honestly, I talk about that a lot. Like when I'm like, there's like fucking up can be such a good thing. Like there's so such beauty in like messing up because then like you kind of know and you learn from it. Like that's the thing, is like you learn from it and you get better from it. Like there's been like say like for me, like one of those big things, like for after my first reverse, I didn't go out to eat ever. Because I was so scared that I was gonna overdo it again. And I went out to eat and like for whatever, 2 or 3 years later, and I did overdo it. And I was like, okay, so what did I learn from this? That like when I'm full, like my thing when I get full is like I sigh. I have like a really big sigh. Like I go, yeah, it was like a cue that I picked up. And I'm like, okay, well, when I start to do that, then I know I'm full. I don't need to keep stuffing my face in. But like the first time I did it, I didn't know, right? And I'm like, okay, so what can I learn? Like, well, okay, well, whatever I ate last time was way too much. So we need to do less. And that's the learning point. So then what am I going to do? I'm just going to do less. Period. Done. Moving on. Like, you know?
That's a great like tool for if someone actually wants to learn how to intuitively eat or kind of break the restriction of like tracking macros or following a meal plan is like doing little intuitive checks. Because like if you eat a meal and let's say you just finish a meal and you're still hungry, dog, like some of that shit hasn't even like hit your stomach yet or like really even been digested. So like those hunger cues, you're still gonna feel hungry, but like wait 15, 20 minutes. Do an ash sigh. Go clean up the dishes from you're cooking. And after 20 minutes, if you're still hungry, go eat a little bit more. Like that's fine. But like people, especially like this is something that I had to learn when I was like first losing weight when I was obese, is like one, it's okay to be hungry, but two, it's like it can take a while to feel satiated. And so it's like just wait, be patient. And then from there, it's like then you can make a logical decision. But if you're like ravenous, in your reverse, let's say, then you have to understand that, listen, right now your body is so delicate, your mind is so delicate, you're gonna feel hungry even if you just ate a meal. But knowing that, then you can be like, listen, this is what I chose. I chose to prep. I chose to go balls deep into the diet and the cardio or whatever for a goal that I had. Now, here are the consequences. Again, not necessarily good or bad, but the consequences are an extreme level of hunger that you've likely never experienced, but it's okay. Like, don't invalidate yourself being like, oh, I'm such a fucking bitch. Like, that's really not that helpful. But you can say, hey, like, I'm hungry. Why am I hungry? I did all of these things and now my body's having a reaction. And guess what? It's okay to feel hungry and go drink some water, go on a walk, go call a friend, like, go do something that maybe temporarily distracts you. But it's like, I think it's really important, especially as I'm learning now through like my own journey with my therapist. And again, I cannot recommend therapy enough if you're crazy like me, but like Don't invalidate yourself. Like, validate that you're feeling this way. Don't stuff it down and move on. So that was really cool. And even like Chris Bumstead was talking about that in one of his videos. He was like, I no longer wanted to like invalidate it. He's like, I would just tell Courtney that I'm having a hard time and it would make me feel better. And like Eric's doing that too. Like, he's doing that with me. He's like, I'm having a hard time at work and we'll talk about it and he feels better. So it's like communication is so important and having also like someone to talk to that like you love. Like, Ash was like that with me and I'm like that with her.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for people to be vulnerable and upfront. And even in like the coaching realm, like too, especially because like I said, that girl was like, oh, you guys are like my Roman Empire. I'm like, dude, like I'm just an average person. But like when you check in with your coach, like you can kind of put them on a pedestal, like right then and there. And it's hard to have that vulnerability and be honest and be like, hey, like I'm struggling. Like I'm fucking struggling. I have a girl right now that's like, I think she's like, I'm being a terrible client. I'm like, why? She's like, well, I can't hit my protocols. And, you know, she's got some health things going on with the doctors and things like that. And I'm like, okay, well, what protocols can you hit that are within reason? You know, and then maybe I can just push them a little bit more. Like, do you think you can get 5,000 steps a day? Oh, yeah, no problem. Well, what about 6,500? Can I challenge you to get 6,500? Yeah. Oh, I can try and do that.
Bro,
Sweet.
people love a challenge. Hell
Well, that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. It's like, okay, well, you couldn't meet the 10,000 steps a day because like you're in and out of the doctor's office all day, you're sitting down there. Okay, I get it. Well, what can you do? Tell me what is possible for you, and I'm gonna make it happen within reason, and then I'm gonna put a little bit of spin on it, you know, because like the reality of it is like some things are like super unachievable for people right now in their either in their early days or like what like when I was pregnant, by no fucking means could I hit my meal plan. Like I all fucking day long. So, you know, what did Mark do? Mark's like, okay, well, let's just focus on getting anything that has fiber in it. You know,
Literally, oh my God.
we rewrote my protocols almost weekly when I was pregnant because it was like, well, what can you do? Okay, well, you can't train 4 days anymore. What about three? I can do that. I can definitely do that. You know,
Exactly.
so it's just like kind of having that vulnerability of first admitting, like, hey, I can't fucking. Oh my. Also, like, what meal is this for you? I feel like you've had like 13 bowls in front of you.
I had like I didn't want to tell you what I was eating because that was gonna be gross, but it was like I made like tuna salad, but I don't have tuna. I have sardines. It was like sardine salad on rice cakes, and now I'm just eating a bowl of fruit.
Oh, okay. I'm just like, I feel like I've seen all these bowls
Bro,
flying
it's
in.
off season. Like, it's just all you do is eat in off season. That's all
Oh,
you
I
do. You
hate
eat, you
it.
train, and whatever.
Like this morning, I was like, can I put all my food in the blender right now and drink it in one glass? Because I don't want to eat it all. Like, I don't want to eat today. Like, I don't know what it is. I just don't feel like doing it. Like, I don't want to put the fork in my mouth. I'm tired. I just hate sitting there and eating 17 bowls of whatever is in front
Yeah.
of you.
I try to make it fun and interesting. Like, I know people are like, oh, you're such a by the book bodybuilder. Bitch, no, I'm not. I don't eat chicken and broccoli and rice for every meal. Like, this meal, it was sardine salad on rice cakes. And then I have a bowl of fruit. And to get more fat in, I drizzled lemon cod liver oil. So it tastes like dots. I'm literally eating dots. Nature's
Ooh.
dots, bitch.
Yeah, nature's thought. That's funny. I eat pretty much a bodybuilder diet because I don't care. And that's my own issue. But like I tried to make a fun salad this week, like a hamburger salad with like pickles and tomatoes and
Like a
ground.
hamburger bowl. Love that.
Yeah. It was a lot of work. So I was like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah. To me, like, this isn't like a lot of work for me because it's kind of like a charcuterie board. But like, I don't know. My food is at the point where it's just high, where I need to make it enjoyable or else I'm going to be like,
Yeah, I just drink like a gallon of juice for breakfast.
just like straight IV it.
Yeah, I feel like I got like 400 carbs right in my breakfast right here because I.
Literally, dude, like legitimately, like this is the most food I have ever eaten because every like off season growth phase, whatever the fuck you want to do, I try to experiment a little bit in terms of like how I approach things. So this time, like I don't take like off plan free meals like how I used to and kind of eat like a jackass. I just like have people over for dinner but still eat my normal meals, but I don't track it. So I'm having like more social relationships and my maintenance calories, growth calories, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Like are so high now. So like I'm kind of in a better starting point metabolically, if you want to look at it that way, for a future dieting phase, but it's just like the emphasis hasn't been on food. It's been on like quality time. And that's been good for me and my mental health. And because it's been good for me and my mental health, my body looks better too.
Yeah, imagine that. Makes fucking sense.
So I'm eating my dots.
I love that for you. Fuck, man. I don't even know what the last thing I was saying before I inquired on your
I don't know,
plan.
man. We were, I again, I didn't want to admit that I was eating sardine salad because again, people are like, what? But it was actually really good.
Don't yuck the yums.
Don't yuck someone else's yum, dog.
Yeah. But I guess essentially, like, the last thing I have to say is, like, if you're like, quote unquote, making fumbles like left and right, change your fucking game plan, dude, you
Get some new
know?
gloves, bitch. Hold on to the ball. Two hands.
Seriously, seriously, like, but like, I just want people to know too that like there are areas like where I still need improvement, that I'm not the holy grail, that I still fuck up, you know, that I still struggle with. And it just comes down to like that communication of like, you know, where we're at, like what we can do and what needs to be done, and all those things need to align with your goal, right?
But also, like, don't. Like you can like it's very nice that you guys look up to us, and it's not that we don't appreciate it, but like don't put us on a pedestal because we're not doing anything that you can't do. You know what I'm
Exactly.
saying? Like we're people. Like we have our own issues, our own insecurities, our own strengths, and at the same time it's like we do this podcast because we want you guys to be better too. So it's like while, you know, maybe we have our nutrition under control, maybe like Ash struggles with training, or I struggle with stress management and like my own like mental health stuff. And like that's the biggest struggle right now that I'm having. And it was very difficult for me to admit that and open up about that because like I do know people view me as very strong and ferocious, and I am, but like I'm not perfect. I've never claimed to be, even though I have wanted to be. But now I realize, no, I don't want to be perfect because then I'm a robot and then I lose my humanity. And that's sad. That is so fucking sad.
And it's so stressful to be perfect. I used to be like that all the time, you know.
But
Well,
I still have my Costco parking spot, so don't fucking park there.
speaking of that, this is the last thing I'm gonna say. We didn't run our dishwasher last night, and
Oh no.
I know. And I eat my meals on a certain type of fucking plate. Like I have four of them, and they were all in the dishwasher, not clean for today. And I was like, I don't even know how to eat my breakfast right now.
Dude, that's so relatable.
I was like,
Do you want to know
ugh.
something crazy about like everyone's house has stupid things? My house was wired weird. And so if I run my dishwasher, I cannot use the microwave because the kitchen will just go. So
Okay,
like
I don't even think that's safe.
like legitimately, like I was like, why can't we just get an electrician here to fucking rewire the shit? But
Yeah.
I could only run my dishwasher at night because then I'm not running the microwave. But I'm like, for Thanksgiving or something, we're fucked because we always have to do like one or two cycles because we're using all these pots and pans. And if like I want to heat up my coffee or my tea, I'm SOL.
Yeah. You're either gonna have to, I don't even know, put it outside to get heated up, or you're gonna have to go old-fashioned hand wash the dishes. I know.
Oh,
We have pr
like I'm in college again.
yeah, and
Oh.
pruny little grape fingers.
Oh my God, dude.
But I hope you have a really good Thanksgiving. Is this coming out on Thanksgiving? Are we going to drop this on Thanksgiving?
I think I'm gonna have Eric, if he's willing to, maybe do it Monday or Jesus Christ,
All
record
right.
it Wednesday morning because I feel
Yeah.
like no one's gonna be listening. And granted, I don't want them to listen on Thursday morning because I want them to
Yeah.
be with their families, you know?
Oh, well then happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Hey,
Enjoy
happy
it. Spend time with
Thanksgiving.
your family. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving too, Ash.
Yeah, you too. Are you guys like hosting or are you going to your mama's?
Oh, we're actually going to my brother's on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we're going to Alex's family. So no, I do not host. I hate that shit. No. I don't like people in my house because like when I'm done, I'm done. And I don't want to be rude and kick people out. I like to leave. I want to leave. So
Do
I don't.
you and Alex have like a like you know like how couples have like unspoken cues where they're like, hey, I'm ready to go? Like, do you and Alex have that? Or do
No,
you just like
I literally am just like, I want to leave now.
love that. Eric and I, when we were like we had decided that we were like, you know, we were gonna do this shit. I was like, we need to develop communication. So when you're getting fed up with my family or vice versa, or even if we're just like out and it's time to go home. And this was also when I was like kind of in my people pleasing era, hence why I didn't want to just announce and stand up that I want to leave.
Yeah,
But
that's me.
we have these things where it's like if we're like doing the, you know, the arm around the whatever, I will just grab his knee and give it one good squeeze. And he does that to me too. So it's a very subtle like squeeze, but it kind of looks natural, like you're just loving on the other person, but it's a I want to go home. I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm grumpy, I'm
Love
tired of
that.
people.
Right.
So
I mean, at least you
they'll
start
knee
doing that.
squeeze. You're
But I literally will like announce it. Like, I'll get up and I don't even care who's
just
listening.
like, I wish to leave this place.
Seriously, I'm just like, well, it's time for me to go home. And they're like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving.
Yes, you do the Ohio. Well, time to hit the dusty trail.
Yeah, no, but mine sounds like real curt and real blunt. Like, I'm leaving.
Like, all right, I'm fed up with you fuckers. I'm ashes out. She goes, peace.
Seriously.
Adios.